Harry Klein didn't think he was college material. Klein has a felony record. Like many people he went to prison with, he didn't complete high school. But now, 51 years old, Klein beat the odds. Last month, he graduated from the University of Illinois. In a follow-up to a story we brought you last week, Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines has this profile.
Harry Klein's story starts in Chicago. He grew up there, lived with his mom, a social worker. He says he was a good kid, got good grades, and he loved playing basketball. But all that changed his freshman year of high school. It was an incident that affected the way other people saw him and the way Klein saw himself.
So it was like one day we were like hanging out at my grandma's, and we decided we go to this other place that's close to where I live at called Pershing Park. And we go over there and play on these little bitty rims because they were so low. We were like excited so we can, where we can go dunk and play basketball and, you know, feel like we're bigger than what we really are. And it was like a ritual. We usually always go there like probably 2 times a week. So I had one of my friends that lived close to me. We were walking together, this guy named Larry. So we were walking, you know, we got to the street called King Drive. And the police, they like just pulled right up on us. Larry started running, and that's what we do. You know, from where we're from, we didn't really trust the police. But he started running. I didn't feel like we had any reason to run, so I didn't run. So they put me in a car, and they went to go chase him down, and nevertheless, they caught him. And they took us to this lady house, and you know, she came downstairs. He rung the bell. She came downstairs, and he asked her, was it one of these guys? And she didn't point out Larry. She pointed out me. She said it was him. And I was like, I said, I never seen this lady a day in my life. She said that I had a gun, and she said we robbed her of her books and her purse or something like that. And searched this and all that. We didn't have anything. We never seen this lady a day in our lives. So they took us to the police station, and they called our parents. I was just continuing to tell, I didn't do nothing. We didn't do nothing. They released me to my parents, and they gave me a court date. And I think it was like a couple of days after Thanksgiving. And I remember playing basketball, and we had a basketball game. So I had all my uniform and all that. I was like, all right, after this, I'm going to go. And we got a game. I never made it to that game. I went to court. You know, the judge found me guilty for some reason. I don't remember, because he told me to tell the story. And I remember being terrified telling this story. And like I said, the lady pointed me out. So they decided to... I guess, reprimand me. Yeah, and they sent me to Valley View, and that's what I did, like, my time. But I didn't complete the sentence because they ended up finding a person who was doing the robberies over there. And they sent me back to court. They let me go home with my mom. And when I got back, people were, like, kind of in awe that I was, like, in jail. You know where I'm coming from? It's like, oh, man, he was locked up, man. And so that tough exterior took over me, you know, and I started to, like, transform into something I really wasn't. I started to act out in a lot of ways, you know, and I really didn't feel like I had a lot of support from the school because of that traumatic experience. You know, nobody came to me and gave me any counseling. Nobody came to me and say, how did you get through this? You know, I didn't go to a school like that. And when I got back to school, it was like my basketball coach and some of the teachers, they were looking at me in a different way. They didn't let me play basketball. And that was like one of my passions, playing basketball with my friends, those same people I was growing up with and playing with after school or before school. So it was like now I had to like find a new different set of friends at the same time they in practice. And now I'm out in the streets. So I'm starting to hang out with these older people. You know, and I started, like, coming under peer pressure, coming under all these different little dynamics from the streets. So I started taking on that street trait life, you know, trying to fit in. And it was just an ongoing cycle. I didn't know really who I was, and didn't really know what I wanted to do, you know. And then hanging in the streets, you started to, like, seeing things. You started getting into things. I felt like it was a hopeless situation at first. And then I started, like, committing crimes, you know, hanging out with people, they get these bright ideas. And it got to a point where it's like, man, I started going back and forth to jail and then start getting caught up in the system.
Klein was in and out of Illinois prisons throughout the 1990s. And when he was released, he got addicted to heroin. It was something his brother struggled with, too. And in 2006, his brother died of an overdose.
When he passed away, we were at his funeral. And I had a friend to go over there and get me some heroin because I didn't want to feel the pain no more. You know, it was like, it was bad. And we were like carrying my brother's casket. And I think that's when I like used it. And I snorted it. And we were in a limo. It's my mom, my girl, and my aunt. And all I remember is waking up in the hospital while we were going to bury him. And when I woke up, I just seen my mom, my aunt sitting there, and you know, tears just start coming out of my eyes. Like, man, how could this just happen? And it was sad, man. And then I just told my mom, just go bury my brother, and I'll see you guys at the reception. And it was a real humiliating experience. I was just thinking about my mom the whole time because I was like, man, how can I do this to her like that? You know. And I got through that point, but I still wasn't done. I still wasn't done. It was like that chase and that run, you know, trying to run away from my pain, trying to run away from my feelings, not dealing with my brother. You know, I never knew about people could help you, you know, with this kind of stuff. You know, I never been in therapy. You know, I didn't know about that.
Klein kept using heroin for years after his brother's death. He says it was his way of dealing with the pain. But something happened in 2013 that would change the course of Klein's life.
You know, I was like with one of my friends, you know, he was in a wheelchair and we were together all the time. He's my using buddy. We were getting high one day and it was like, man, money was getting short and wanted some more. And I seen him just sitting right, like I'm sitting here and he's like sitting on the other side of the table and he's just got his eyes closed and he's rocking his head and he's like mumbling and moaning. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? You know, he's like, I'm all right. I was like, man, something wrong with you. You know, and he had this heroin sitting on top. I said, man, you don't want this because you don't think you want this. You know, and I used it. And he had like $10 like rolled up. I think he was snorting out of it. And I took it and I went to go get some more heroin. And I told him I was coming back. But I really had no intention of coming back because I was like, I'm going to do this one. He don't need it anymore. And as I was walking out the door walking down the street, I seen Mike, this one mutual friend of ours. And I said to Mike, I said, man, go down there and check on Tall, man. Look like he's dying. And I remember telling him that clear as day. And I didn't go back down there that day. But Mike called me the next day. And he said, Perry, you were right. See, he died. I was like, what? And it's like, crushed me. It's like, man. You know, I was like, what the hell? What just happened? You know, I could have saved him, you know, but I was thinking about getting that next one. And that was like the beginning of the end of this craziness. You know, I remember getting down on my knees. You know, I remember praying to God and asking me to get me out of this madness. And he did, like right away. I started praying and I had like a little computer in my room and I started looking at Facebook and stuff like that. And I started seeing all these different things, and I seen a little passage. I seen the passage from my cousin. It was a passage, and it said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not on understanding, and always acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. But when I seen that, it had meaning to me, and then I took it so to heart. I was like, man, you know, I was like, something got to happen.
And something did happen. Klein got out of Chicago. An old girlfriend bought him a bus ticket to Champaign. It was the change of scenery he says he needed. When he arrived in Champaign, Klein was homeless and in withdrawal.
So I started staying in the shelter. So I stayed in the shelter and I went to meetings, Narcotics Anonymous, and I started to meet people in the meetings. And these people were like giving me good directions and I was taking suggestions for them and I was believing in God because God got, so my whole faith, my faith was like really, really, is real strong. So, and I trusted in that. And I ended up taking a suggestion from a friend because I used to always tell him, man, I said, man, I'm going to go back to school one day. And he was in a fellowship. One day I was helping him move. And after we got through moving, he drove me right up to Parkland College. And he said, get out. He said, go register for school. And I did it. And I went in there, I registered for school, you know, did everything they asked me to do, you know, because it was like foreign to me. I was like, I got to go where? I got to go here, here, there. I was like, oh, man. And then I had to go take a placement test, you know, go see a guidance counselor. I didn't even do none of that in high school, you know. So it was kind of different, you know, and I was like, I'm finishing everything. I'm not giving up anymore on nothing, you know, and that's the way I looked at it. So I stuck in there. And I just was like showing up, just like I was showing up to the meetings, like they were helping me get better. And I found myself not dope sick anymore. And I start feeling good about myself. And I start completing things. And I start like feeling like really good. So I had like built my confidence up. And I had a support system through the self-help group, Narcotics Anonymous. People were like really supporting me. And then I started getting support from school, and they was showing me all these different resources that I could use. And I was still homeless at the time too. You know, I was still staying in the homeless shelter, going to school, going to these meetings, but it was like my resources to help me get to where I need to be.
Even with that support, it wasn't easy. Klein struggled to pass some of his courses. One subject was especially challenging for him.
Math was like my worst subject ever. So I had like started like real low in math. It's like straight humiliation. So I started asking for help, and I asked for help, and I asked for help, you know, and people were glad to help me because I wasn't scared to ask for help, because being in that Narcotics Anonymous program, you know, that's the first thing they tell you, you know, a closed mouth don't get fed. So if people don't know what's wrong with you, how are they going to help you? So I was like, okay, I'm going to ask for help. You know, Ms. Martin, she stand out to me so much. You know, I love that lady so dearly, Dr. Erin Martin Wilding. She didn't, like, cut no slack with me. You know, and when I passed her class, I passed it with a D. She didn't cut no slack with me. But it was so hard. So I had, like, two or three semesters in a row because she was always there. And she would say, come to my office hours. You know, and I would go to office hours every day. And we would be there, and I would get frustrated. And I would be like, look, Ms. Martin, we go back and forth. And then I'd make me mad. I'll leave, walk out, you know, come back. Hey, I'm sorry. Let's do it again. You know, it was like that the whole time. But she never gave up on me. But I stuck it out. Was there every day, you know, passing the test and going to the next level. These things started being exciting to me. You know, and then I started getting, like, good grades. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, people started, like, supporting me, being supportive. And then I end up graduating.
Klein earned his associate's degree from Parkland College in 2016. With the help of an advisor there, he got into the University of Illinois' School of Social Work. And last December, Klein achieved something he used to think was out of reach. He graduated from college.
Perry Klein.
That's Klein walking across the stage at his graduation from the U of I. Thanks to his experiences at Parkland and at the U of I, Klein now knows what he wants to do with his life, and that's helping people, especially people like him, people whose stories he can relate to. Klein doesn't believe he's an exception either. He says there's more people out there like him, and an education could help them too.
Getting more people that from prison, like in the educational programs, that's the key, because that opens up the floodgates, you know, for people to like continue to have hope. If I wouldn't have been to Parkland, there wouldn't have been no University of Illinois. You know, Parkland is everything to me. I love Parkland. So I think it's a beautiful thing. God gave me opportunity to be a part of, you know, coming from where I came from. I think it's a miracle.
Klein now has a job helping people overcome addiction. And he helped create a charity that provides housing for people trying to get clean. He says he's going to get his master's degree next. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
This story was produced with support from the Education Writers Association Reporting Fellowship Program.